Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. We'll read verses 7 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom of his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being at your house. Thank you for the fellowship that we have here together. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the Word of God. Father, thank you for our man of God. Father, please fill our preach with your power today. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives so that we could reach more folks for you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I would like to start my sermon this morning with a brief testimony. I feel like God deserves some attention, and I'd like to give it to him if I could. We had just a few days ago what we call our watch night service. We brought the new year in together here at the church. I find myself often looking at the weather, wondering how the weather will affect what happens here at the church. The day of the watch night service, it rained, and then as the day progressed, the temperature began to drop, and I thought, well, if at 7 o'clock we're within an inch of freezing as the night progresses, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I figured with the watch night service starting at 7 and concluding at 11, with all the rain that we'd received in the day, that it would just be solid ice by the time we dismissed. And I don't want anybody to be unsafe, but we knew that we would go on with our service. I rarely ever do anything like this, but I decided that I would pray about the weather. And so, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, as I was heading toward the church, I pulled over and I said, Lord, now you know I'm going to have this service. I do not want the people to be unsafe. It's getting colder. It's going to turn to ice. And I said, I'm just asking, when we dismiss, please, May it not be totally ice-covered, and may everyone make it home safely. Well, as the night progressed, I'd forgotten about the prayer. I just, somehow in my heart, figured, well, you know, it's going to drop from 31 degrees down to 30 and then down to 29. Of course, in this area, when the old sun goes down, it gets awful cold at night. About 10 minutes till 11, we dismissed the evening service, went outside, and it was just above freezing. I drove from here all the way to my house, which I drive just about as far as anybody here, but about two families. I drive all the way on the back side of the mountain. If I can make it, anybody can make it, basically. And I thought, there's no ice. There's no ice. I was on the way home. Mrs. Owens has not been well, and she was unable to be here. I was about halfway home, and I kept checking for ice everywhere. As a matter of fact, every puddle of water, I'm driving through it, putting my brake on. I wasn't sliding. Had you been behind me, you would have thought I was one of the drunks out on New Year's Eve. I was on my side of the road, on the other side of the road. I was looking for ice, and there just was no ice. About halfway home, I called my wife, and I said, I don't know if anybody would believe it, but I'm going to tell you, God answered my prayer. You say, you believe God did that for you? No, I believe God did that for you. But just a prayer of last week that God somehow chose to answer. Last night, I was sitting at home. It was about 9:30, and I said a little prayer as I was sitting in my chair, and I said, Lord, I'd just love to hear a phone call from so-and-so. Didn't even ask as to when, but I just asked. 15 minutes later, my phone rang, and it was that person. My hand was trembling as I picked up the phone. And I thought, boy, God's good to me. I want to talk to you about something this morning that if you would have let it, it will revolutionize your prayer life. We this morning in Sunday school learned about wisdom. I'm not going to go into wisdom, but I do want to tell you the name of my sermon title this morning. I want to talk to you about wise praying. Wise praying. Earlier, we read together Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, where the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I decided a couple of weeks ago that we probably should start out the new year with one of the most important opportunities and most important responsibilities of a Christian, and that is, I wanted to start the new year with a sermon on the subject of prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool for the Christian, more powerful than most have ever discovered. I hate to say it. The average Christian sitting in here would take the testimony that I gave earlier and say that's impossible. When our all-capable God promises us that He will give us that for which we ask, it is a very big privilege, but also, may I say to you, it is a very big responsibility. Listen to how serious this prayer promise is that God makes to us. In John 14:14, He says, if ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Do you have any idea how powerful that promise is? God wants to give us things. Now, God's ability to give, added to His promise to give, if we'll pray, unleashes then maybe even a possible danger for you and for me. You know, there are some things that when my children were growing up were not necessarily bad for them, but there were some things that if they did not learn how to control its energy or power could hurt them. And I say to you, God's ability to give, added to His promise to give, unleashes some possible danger if you don't know how to use what's made available to you. God again promises in John 15:7, He says, if ye abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. These words here in this verse, the words have and the word ask, they're in what we call the linear tense, meaning you have not and have not and have not because you ask not and ask not and ask not. Because we do not keep asking, we do not keep receiving. Folks, listen, God loves us and He wants to give to us. Now look, I'm not the one that created this thing called prayer. God did. We know it. You don't even, if this is your first time to be in church in your lifetime, you've heard of prayer. And if you've never been in church in your life, you have probably prayed. Now this thing of prayer, folks, it's real. God created it. It's no fairy tale. Now, though you may not be experiencing much answer to prayer, does not limit God and God's ability to answer prayer. When you hear testimonies about prayer, they're real. You say, well, it never happened to me, but that's not God's fault. He wants to give us what we need more than we want it. Now, notice the word need. My granddaughter's name is Alexandra. We call her Alex. She loves marshmallows. She may have fallen in love with marshmallows because my secretary, Mrs. Costa, the little ones that will come by her office and get some of them call them marshmallows. They'll come by and get a marshmallow. But Alexandra loves marshmallows. Matter of fact, she would eat them more often than I think that she should. she comes to the house, she'll ask me for a marshmallow. It's hard for Grandpa to say no to a three-year-old that's begging for a marshmallow. Spoiling her is quite easy. But you know, sometimes those marshmallows are just not best for her. But can I tell you something? God loves us more than I love Alex. And if it's easy for me to spoil her, I wonder if sometimes God doesn't spoil us just a bit. See, he too may spoil us by giving us that for which we beg, because he's our Father. See, I believe it's possible for us to ask God for things that fall short of what is best for us. You see, sometimes we go to God and we ask, and we ask, and we ask. And I think sometimes he finally gives us what we want, but it is less than what his original plan was for us. Remember, he promised to answer. Remember, he loves us deeply. Remember, he wants to give you more than what you want to receive. And prayer is so powerful, I would like to recommend a couple of things to you today. Because prayer is so powerful, you better learn how to pray wisely. I'm going to give you, I think I've written down five things that I include in my prayer life. It has to do with my attitude about prayer and the way I pray, because I realize that God is a prayer-answering God, and God loves us. And I want to make sure that I claim a promise, but I do it wisely. You see, these things help me to use the powerful tool of prayer, but to use it safely. Do you know you could abuse prayer if you're not careful? You could misuse it. I almost wonder sometimes if Christians do not strong-arm God into providing for them less than his best. Could you be praying for something that's not sinful? It's just not best? I mean, think about it. How often do we make decisions that are not necessarily sinful? They're just not best. Do we do that in our prayer life? I think Christians do it, and they do it often. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to tell you about some things that I do in my prayer life that I think will help you. First of all, number one, I ask God to give me only what he thinks is best. I ask God to give me only what he thinks is best. In other words, I tell God not to grant my request if he knows it's not best for me. Listen, recently I preached a sermon from this passage. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You understand here, God thinks higher than we do, and bigger than we do, and more powerful than we do. And I'm saying to you, I ask God to give me only what he thinks is best. You say, "Well, Brother Owens, how has that been praying by faith?" My faith is in what he is, not just in what I can get out of him. My faith is that I believe God knows best for me. See, if there's something that I am commanded to pray for in the Bible, then I'm going to do it boldly. I will do it boldly. Otherwise, if I'm praying for something that I think that I need, but it's not printed in the pages of the Bible, then I tell God to only answer my request if he thinks it's best for me. For instance, the Lord's Prayer gives us things for which we're commanded to pray. Now, I don't have to tell God not to give them to me if they're not best for me. Why? He told me to pray for them, and he told me to ask for them. And I pray for those things because the Bible tells me to. I pray for them out of obedience and a clear command. For instance, the Bible teaches that you and I should ask for the Holy Spirit. This morning, I woke up and I prayed for the Sunday school teachers. You adult Sunday school teachers, this morning, I begged God that you would not stand and teach a Sunday school lesson this morning in your flesh. I begged God that you did not spend the week ignoring that lesson and then trying to throw it together at the last minute in your preparing for class day. I asked God to give you the Holy Spirit. I did that boldly. I did that without reservation. Why? God told me to boldly ask for the Holy Spirit to be upon those teaching the Word of God. But wait a minute. If I wanted a new suit, I would ask, but I would qualify my request with this: God, I want a new suit if you think it's best for me, but if not, don't give it to me. I want God to know that I want what is best for me, not just what I request. Let me give you an example. We won't take the time to read it, but in Numbers chapter 22, there's a very interesting story. It's about a preacher by the name of Balaam. Balaam was the greatest preacher of his day. He was the Jack Hiles of his day, or the Billy Sunday of his day. He was the Apostle Paul to his people at that era in history. The Moabites were the enemy. The king of the Moabites sent representatives to Balaam, this preacher, to basically bribe him to unify with them. They're the liberal enemy. Balaam decides that he'll pray about it. God's answer to Balaam was, you say no to those representatives, and Balaam, you don't want to unify with that liberal group. So Balaam said to these representatives, he said no. Well, the Moabites then sent messengers again to Balaam. Now, the first time they virtually tried to bribe him. The second time they came to him and said, Balaam, you pick your price. Balaam, you pick your price to unify with us. We'll give you what you want. And Balaam went back to God again. Now, he had gone to God once, and God said the answer is no. And Balaam went back a second time. Why? What he's going to receive is even greater now. And Balaam goes back to God, and Balaam says, God, I want to do this. Now, Balaam is loved by God. God finally let Balaam go because Balaam insisted. God did not let Balaam go and try to make a relationship with these people because God thought it was best, but because Balaam thought it was best. Those of you that know the story, it turned out terrible. Why? Because Balaam said, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And God finally said, all right, Balaam, then you can have this. You know how our children sometimes request something that is not best? They ask, and they ask, and they ask, and they ask, and then sometimes we just say, all right, fine. I don't want to be like that with God in my prayer life. I tell him not to give it to me if he thinks it's not best. And we're not talking about sinful things. We're talking about us not getting the best. I'll give you a story. I was out of high school a couple of years, and I seen a car that I wanted. And I really wanted it bad. It's called an Opel GT. I never talk about it. You'll know why in a minute. This thing was midnight blue. It looked like a miniature Corvette. I knew I'd never be able to afford a Corvette, so I got me a mini Corvette, this Opel GT. It had a T-top and the cutest little thing you've ever seen. And I just thought, man, I'm going to look good driving around in that Opel GT. Bucket seats. Matter of fact, it only had two seats. Bucket seats, a little four-speed. And I said, I want that little sports car. I want that Opel GT. Now, I wasn't going to get it without praying. I prayed and said, God, I want that thing. And every time I turn around to try to get the car, something happened. You know, I was going to get the car, and I had problems with, you know, getting the insurance. I wanted to get the car, and then I had problems getting the money together. And I wanted to get it. It seemed like every opportunity to get that car, it just wasn't working. But I kept insisting. I said, God, I want that car. God, I want that Opel GT. I'm going to get that car. I want that car. God, give me that car. And finally, the answer came from heaven. And I got it. I bought the biggest lemon I've had in my lifetime. I am telling you, I drove the thing for 2 weeks. I started having transmission problems. I had to put a new timing chain in the thing. I had problem after problem after problem. You know something? I learned not to tell God what I have to have. You see, I asked God to give me only what He thinks is best. Secondly, I ask God that if he has something better, to give the better thing to me. You hear that? I ask God. When I'm praying, I'll say, God, this is what I feel like I want. But if you've got something better, I'll take it. He said, why do you do that? Because Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, I know what I want, but God said, if you'll pray to me, I might be able to show you something you weren't even thinking about. But man takes prayer to get what man wants, when man ought to take prayer to get what God wants. Don't sell out too cheap in regard to your prayer requests. Don't be too vain about how insistent you are that you know what you need. Man's kind of stupid in God's eyes. Hey, get all that God has for you. Don't demand marshmallows when you could have steak. We began to pray, as you all know, we feel like God wants us to have a Bible college. And we began to pray about a piece of land out here off of 81 where the Econo Lodge is. And we prayed and we asked God, but I have to tell you something. You say you don't seem real, real frustrated about the fact that that thing didn't fall into place. I have to tell you, I believe that God wants us to have a Bible college, but I did not insist that God give me that piece of land. I said, God, we need a place to have a Bible college. We're going to pray that you give us that place, but if you have something better, I'll take it. Say, have you found it yet, Brother Owens? No, but I'm still waiting. I know one thing about my God. Everything I've ever traded in, I get a better product when I trade it in. He took hell and gave me heaven. He took my rags and gave me a robe. He took the devil as my father and gave me the heavenly father. He's never let me down yet, but one thing I'm not going to do is think that I see everything and know everything. I'll say, God, give it to me, but if you've got something better, I'll take it. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Be careful, Christian. God sees more than you. God has more than you. God can do more than you can do. Be careful, insisting and requiring. Don't you strong-arm God into giving you less than the best. God could give us what we want rather than something that he wants if we're not careful. Man told me, young man, many, many, many years ago, probably 15 years ago, man, he came to me, he said, but the ones I'm going to marry that woman right there. And she wasn't a wicked, nasty woman. She probably wasn't what he needed, but he said, I'm going to marry that woman right there. I remember praying with him. I remember him thinking he was doing the right thing. He demanded it. He said, now God, you told me you would answer this prayer, and I want you to answer this prayer, and I want that woman. God didn't answer. He went back and insisted again, and then insisted again. And finally, God answered. And it ended in divorce. Didn't take long. Because you see, the man wanted less for himself than what God wanted for him. Better be careful. Prayer is a powerful thing, and you've got to approach it with the right attitude. You don't approach prayer as if you know everything. You approach prayer as if God knows everything. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Some of you can be glad God didn't answer some of your prayers. You'd be in prison today. Because the greedy, unspiritual part of us, the carnal part of us, will lead us right away from God if we're not careful, even with our prayers. We ought to be careful to let God know that when we pray that we are willing not to have our own way if he has something better for us. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, we too often pray as if we know what is best. Because of it, we miss out on the best. Don't limit God's goodness and power with your will in your request. Release him of his promise to answer and let him give you his best. Take, for instance, I love what I've seen happen in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As you all remember, these young men had been arrested and now in captivity, and they're going to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. They prayed and said, God, we're going to be thrown in a burning fiery furnace. Oh, God, deliver us. Please, God, deliver us. I love it. God improved on their request. His answer was more powerful than their request. You say, how is it? Now, God could have just put the fire out in the furnace. He did not. God said, I'm not going to just deliver you. You know what he did? He climbed in the furnace with them and brought them through the fire. God could have put the fire out before they got thrown in to deliver them, but God said, let me show you some great and mighty things that you didn't even think to request. I'm not putting the fire out. I'm not sparing you of the fire. I'm going to jump in the fire with you, and we'll go in one side of the furnace, walk out the other side of the furnace, and you won't even smell like the Marlboro Man when we're done. God can do something greater than you ever imagined. But in our insistent, finite minds, we sometimes say, you've given me this promise now, God. I demand that you give this to me. God said, I'm glad you have that kind of faith, but you better make your faith more so in what I am than in what I can do. I've got something for you, but it's greater than you ever imagined. I just throw in there every once in a while when you're praying that, God, I want this, but if you've got something better, I'll trust you more than I trust myself. There was a thief on the cross. He turned to Jesus as he and Jesus and another were hanging there on Golgotha. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was the request. Now let me explain, Jesus comes with his own at the end of the tribulation period. That's when his kingdom will be ushered in. That's over 2,000 years away from the moment that this request is made. This guy knew a little something about the coming kingdom of the Messiah. He said, remember me when that comes. And Jesus is thinking, that's 2,000 plus years away. And Jesus said, I can do you one better than your request. And you know what he said to the man? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What was he doing? He said, you've asked for something and you don't even know what you're asking for. You're asking for an occurrence that will take place over 2,000 years down the line. I can give it to you today. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let me tell you something. There's too often the human race thinks they understand prayer. You go to God and you beg God and you ask things of God, but you better back off just enough to say, but God, I trust you. Faith that he knows best, that he has best. Give God a submission that says, you don't have to give me what I ask. If you've got something better, I'll take what you give. Dr. Smith, I'm glad you're here this morning. Over 7 years ago, I became the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. This church contacted me, asked me to consider being the pastor. Dozens and dozens of other churches had contacted me. One church that was five times the size of this church had contacted me. I'll tell you what, Dr. Smith, I did not beg God to give me this church. I know I've heard pastors say that. I beg God. I didn't. I begged God to give me what was best. You see, in my human frailty, big church, big salary, everything that goes along with it, but God's ways are not man's ways, and God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. God could see things that I could not see. I did not get on my face and say, oh God, give me the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Oh God, I've got to have it. I won't let go of you until you give it to me. No, I said, God, I want what is very, very, very best. That's all I want, and that's what God gave me. You see, I ask God that if he has something better, I'll take the better. I'm no dummy. I say to God, God, don't give me what I think is best. Give me what you think is best. You see how we come out better on this deal? Thirdly, something else that I do in my prayer life, and that is this. I let God choose when he gives it to me. When he gives it to me. Some of us that think we're professionals in prayer need to learn some of the simplest of lessons this morning about prayer. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. You know, there's a best time for your prayer to be answered. There is a best time for your prayer to be answered. Only God knows when that best time is. I wonder if God sometimes delays his answer to our prayers in an effort to get us to spend more time with him. Now, wonder if that's true. Wonder if God is delaying answering your prayer because as long as you have the need, you come to be with him and he likes being with you. But he finds out you don't really want to be with him. You just want to get something from him. That's not building a relationship with your God. I wonder if God sometimes delays his answer to our prayers in an effort to get us to spend more time with him. More important than what we get from him is our being with him. We probably have needs that force us to pray because he wants to be with us. Let me teach you something. I think if you would consistently pray and consistently walk with God, he may not use your needs to draw you in to spending some time with you. Getting an answer for your prayer in God's view is merely a byproduct of your spending time with him. See, you think, I'm going to get something. God said, they're coming to be with me. You said, I'm going to get something. God said, they're coming to be with me. You said, I'm going to get something. And God said, they're coming to be with me. There's a difference. Yeah. Hey, let God send his answer to you, to your prayer in his time. Now, you say, God, I don't know any better than to ask for it right now. You can do that, but can I recommend that you add to that? But God, if you have a better timing, I trust you. Amen. You can go to God and say, God, I feel like this is best, but if you have something better, God, I think this is best, but if you think there's something different, I'll take it. God, I want it now, but because you know all things and you see all things, God, I'll take it in your timing, not just in mine. Good. If you demand it today, when it was better provided tomorrow, you have shortchanged yourself. And you have shortchanged your God. God knows the best timing for your prayer to be answered. Yes. May I recommend to all of us that we let God be God. Yes. Say, well, I asked for it and I didn't get it when I wanted it. Then it might be that God wants you just to ask again. Yes. So I asked again. Well, he might want you to ask again. But I asked again. It's just not time. He said, according to who? Oh, I don't answer prayer. You don't answer prayer. God answers prayer. Trust God's timing. Trust God's knowledge. Trust God's quality. The prodigal son. Do you know the story of the prodigal son, a picture of God and his children and how we can get away from God, etc.? And that is a story that illustrates to us God and his relationship with his people, the prodigal son. So a boy comes to his dad, and what does he do? He demands, hear that? He demands his inheritance. But he was too young, and he was backslidden. He was too young and too backslidden to use what he is demanding of his father to receive. What's the demand? It was a request, if you will. Basically, the young man prays to his dad and asks for an inheritance. The dad can look at the boy and say, son, number one, you're too immature. Number two, you are backslidden. And if you get it, you're going to misuse it. And the boy said, I demand it. And he got it. What happened? Virtually destroyed him. Virtually destroyed him. He started out with this beautiful thing his father had given him, and it did not take him long until he had floundered and wasted it, and he ruined his testimony and went down in history for eating with the hogs. He lost it. And had he been a married man, he would have lost his wife and kids along with it. Because he insisted that God give him something. Can I tell you something? What he wanted was in the inheritance anyway. Had he just not demanded it, he would have gotten it eventually anyway. But he said, I want it now. I want it my way. It's going to be this way. And give it to me. And he lost it all. You see, he would have received that inheritance later anyhow. It was his inheritance. I mean, he got it. He received it early. Was it the inheritance that was bad? Was it what he wanted that was bad? No. It was his timing. It was his timing. You hear about the preacher's boy? Preacher's little boy inquired, said, Daddy, I notice every Sunday morning when you come out on the platform to preach, you sit on the platform and you bow your head. What are you doing, Dad? The father explained. He said, Son, I'm asking God to give me a great sermon. I'm asking God to give me a wonderful sermon. The little boy said, well, why didn't he ever answer? That hits too close to home. I called the sermon this morning, Wise Praying. Wise Praying. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Folks, our God is a prayer answering God. And I want you to understand something. God loves us and God wants to meet our needs. But you and I had better be very, very careful. You had available to you a very, very powerful tool in the Christian life. Use it wisely. Use it very wisely. You see, when I pray, I ask God to only give me what he thinks is best. In other words, I give God permission to say no to me. Right. Will you let God tell you no? Good. Are you offended with that? You say, well, that book doesn't work. He promised it and I didn't get it. He may have done what's best for you. God's good all the time. God's smarter than you all the time. And if you're not careful, there are some of you that are going to force yourself into a mess. You see, I ask God to give to me only what he thinks is best for me, Isaiah 55:8-9. I ask God that if he has something better, to then give that better thing to me. I let him bump my request and put what he had in mind at the top of my list. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then I let him pick the timing of what he gives to me. There are just some things out of proper timing that could be wonderful that can become a mess if it's not done right. That prodigal son was immature. He didn't even realize it. He did not realize the mess that he was getting himself into. He was asking that for which God did not feel like he qualified, or the father did not feel he qualified. So he took what could have turned out to be a wonderful thing, made a mess of it, and lost it all. get this. And oh, have I had my opportunity to do this. I tell God to let me keep my burdens if He thinks they're best for me. I do not ask God, I do not demand that God take my burdens away. I do not. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 42, the Bible says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus realized the Father knew best. Get it? I tell God, I'll say, now God, this burden's heavy, and I don't really want to carry it. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to feel this way. But, I want to keep the burden. If you think this burden is best for me and best for the cause of Christ. Sometimes our burdens make us better Christians. Be careful asking God to take away that which may be the ingredients that will make you great. You hear that? Be careful asking God to take away the ingredients that may be necessary to make you the great Christian God intended you to be. Had John Bunyan never had the burden of being placed in a dungeon, we would have never had his book, Pilgrim's Progress.
Right.
Wonder if the author of that great piece of Christian literature would have said, I don't want to go through this. He probably, if you know anything about him, had the power of God on his life. He probably could have gone to God and said, God, please, if you love me like you say you do, spare me. And had he not been in the prison, he wouldn't have taken the bottle caps from the milk that they gave him to barely keep him alive, on which he pinned Pilgrim's Progress. He would have never used those bottle caps, little leather caps that they would put over the top of a bottle of milk and like a rubber band or a twist tie around it to hold it on there. That's what he wrote the great Pilgrim's Progress on. He would never experience that. Why? Had he called upon the God that loved him and said, God, if you love me, don't make me go through this. Well, of course God loves you, but let me tell you something. God loves you so much, sometimes the burdens that he brings your way are there to make you greater and to make you better. Be careful asking God to take away your greatness. I wish so much that the human race could see the way God sees. Fanny Crosby, blind. Fanny Crosby could not see. Fanny Crosby could not see the sunset. Fanny Crosby could not see the snow on the ground. Fanny Crosby could not hear the red bird. Fanny Crosby could not see the deer play on the mountainside. Fanny Crosby never seen the leaves blowing in the wind. She never had the privilege of driving in the Cumberland Valley in the fall and seeing God put Crayola to shame. Fanny Crosby never watched a grandchild playing on a swing set in the backyard. She could not see. She was blind. But I believe this. I believe that the great gospel songwriter, hymn writer of the last century, had she not been blind, we would not have over 1,000 songs that she wrote.
Right.
Anybody that hears the name Fanny Crosby knows she was blind. And your problem may be that you would not be willing enough to give up your sight to influence future generations with Christianity. That's up to you. Matter of fact, I can guarantee you there are people in this room that could have done something great for God, but just said, God, it's hard. I don't want to do it. Take the burden away. He said, are you sure? And you said, take it out of my life. And God said, fine. I'll move on to somebody else that will trust me.
Yes.
I wonder how many people have shortchanged what God could have done with them because they sold out too cheap.
Yes.
Right before God made his move. two young doctors. They're in training, both working an internship, an emergency room. One prayed and asked God to lighten his load. I knew them. I knew both of them. And I remember one young doctor saying, I can't do this. I can't take the pressure. I'm going to pray and I've got to get away from some of this pressure. The other prayed and said, God, help me to carry whatever load you give me so I can save lives. One went on to be a great, successful surgeon. The other fizzled. Not even in the practice anymore. I'm sorry, but the journey to greatness, it's not easy. If you want to take that journey, it'll come with sacrifice. It will come with faith. It will come with pain. You know, have you unwisely asked God to take away the burden that would have launched you into what God created you to be? So what are you saying then? Take your burden to God. First of all, my recommendation is you ask for the strength to bear it. Now, in our human frailty, and I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God to take it away, but I want to recommend one little thing to you. You ask God to take it away, and you say, God, the best I know how, I'm going to ask you to take this away. But, dear God, if it's best that I keep it, I trust you more than I trust me. Cancel my prayer. Give me what you want me to have, not what I want to have. The human race is arrogant and full of pride. Yes. We take the thing of prayer and we almost strong arm God with it. Right. There better be a bit of humility. There better be some wisdom when you pray where you're smart enough right at the tail end of that thing to say, but God, I know you know what you're doing. Can I calm you all down? I know God knows what he's doing. I know he knows what he's doing. I believe God loves me. Let me say this finally and I'll be done. Something I do, some of you have heard me do it. I always remind God that I will love him and serve him no matter what he does with my prayer requests. My loving God is not pendent on what he gives to me. My service to God is not dependent on whether he gives me what I ask for or not. Well, I know some people, if they can't have what they want, they say, I'm not going to do anything. God's seen that coming. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows your source. He knows how much pride's involved. I always remind God. I say, God, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to love you. And God, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to serve you. God, if you don't give me what I ask for on Monday, I'm getting up on Tuesday and I'm running as fast as I can for the cause of Christ. You owe me nothing. Listen, all this with a good attitude, by the way. You say, all right, I'll do it that way then. God sees you coming. Job 13:15, Job proved this to us when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job said, God, I don't want to die. God, I don't want to suffer. God, I want this prayer request. My God! If you slay me, I'll serve you till I go down and my heart beats its last beat. We make deals with God, though. God, here's a contract. You sign on this line, I'll sign on this line. We'll find somebody with enough integrity that could be the, what's that person called that stamps one of those? Notary public. That's not how God works. My love for him is based on what and who he is, not on my request being answered. Sitting third row back here just a few days ago, Brother and Mrs. Nofsinger friends from old 12-hour drive away from here. They came to visit their family. They came and noticed in my counseling line after church during their visit stood Mrs. Nofsinger, and she came in. She began to weep, and she said, "Brother Owens, you know, I've been ill, terribly ill." She said, "I'm here, and I want to know if while I'm here you would pray and ask God to heal me. Would you anoint me, please?" And I said, "I would, and I'd be honored." She said, "Well, I thought it not wise to leave here without asking you to do so. I have a little bottle of anointing oil that I keep in my office. I'm not for Benny Hinn and all that tomfoolery, but I do believe the Bible teaches that if someone's ill, they can go to the preacher and he can lay hands and anoint them with oil. It's a scriptural thing. I will not deny the scripture. It's purpose in our life. I got my bottle of anointing oil. I got on my knees in my office and I laid my hands on the back of her hands and I said, 'Oh God, this is a dear, sweet lady. She doesn't cause problems in her church. She's a soul winner. She's separated from the world. And if I were you, I'd heal her.' I said, 'God, please. You told me to ask for what I want, and I'm asking, heal her body.' And then I said, 'But God, you know better than I. And we trust you.' And I said, 'No matter what you do, she and I will continue to serve you and continue to love you.' God needs to know if you don't get what you want, you're still going to love him.
Yes.
And you're still going to serve him.
Yes, sir.
Brother Paul, we would have had it if God would have spared your legs. He didn't. But maybe a greater work will be accomplished from that wheelchair than what could have been accomplished otherwise. I just know that's how God works." Can you say it? "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Yet will I love him. Well, if I can have the nice house, I'll serve you, God." No, God, do what you want with the house. I'm serving you anyway. "God, if you give me the job that I want, then I'll serve you, God." No, God, you do what you want with me. I will serve you. I will love you no matter what. And therein lies a humility and a trust and a faith in your God that will get you more prayers answered than you could believe. God can go to the innermost part of you. He wants to know, what do you want? Him or what you can get out of him?
Good.
If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, may I recommend to you our Savior, Jesus. He wants to save your soul. I realize the sermon today has been to the Christian. I hope somehow the Christians in this house have felt the Holy Spirit tug at their hearts about this matter of prayer. Those of you that are unsaved, I hope you'll trust our Christ. He is the one that can answer your prayers. Such a powerful tool you have available after salvation. Prior to salvation, there's only one prayer he wants to hear from you, and that is, "God, save me. Save me." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved today? If you are not, I welcome you to the Savior. If you're not saved, you ought to get born again today. Who here would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I don't know that. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again." I see that hand. Who else should say, "I'm not born again"? If you're not saved, in a moment we'll have what's called an altar call. That means in just a moment the instrumentalists will begin to play. In a moment the congregation will stand. In a moment the choir will sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will post themselves down front. On the ground level at the front of each aisle. If you're not saved, in a moment you leave your seat, walk down front, say to one of these men, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can pray and ask the Lord to save you. He wants you to pray that prayer. He wants you to be saved. Today is the day of your salvation. So if you're not saved, you come. Christian, take a moment and face yourself in the matter of prayer. Take a moment. There's some here you don't even pray. But you can't get your prayers answered if you don't pray. Some here you need to be careful that you do not pray amiss. And that's just not talking about a sinful prayer. That's talking about a prayer of humility. There's this unique combination of boldness and humility that needs to be braided together if you want your prayers answered. Do you know something? When I pray, God, give me what's best for me, and it's not what I wanted, I got my prayer answered. Huh. How about it, Christian? You want to start the new year right? Let's start it appropriately with prayer. It's time for some of you to go back to your knees. Some of you ought to be under such conviction now you don't even pray. Somebody ought to get on your face down in here and say, oh God, I'm going to start this year. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to trust you. You don't have to panic about what's happening in America. Trust your God. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But God has spoken to my heart about my prayer life today. Will you raise your hand? There are hands all over this building. God bless you. God bless you. May put those hands down. If you need this altar, you come. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin